In the early morning hours of January 1, the United States Senate passed legislation to avoid the fiscal cliff. Nearly 20 hours later, the House followed suit. Several surprising outcomes regarding the estate planning emerged as part of the deal, which, according to the Wall Street Journal, is, quote, chock full of goodies, for nearly every interest group, that is, including the estate planning community. Although many of you will experience significant income tax increases, there is this good news with respect to the estate tax. So, today we will talk about 10 topics. Number one, the new rates and exemption amounts. They're now set. What can we expect to pay for estates over $5.25 million? Number two, what are the estate tax traps to be wary of? Number three, lifetime gifts in excess of $2 million in Connecticut are subject to tax. That's a gift tax. Is this a warning for similar gift limitations in other states? Number four, with the new permanency of the estate tax exemption at 5.25, should people consider making taxable gifts? And for those of you who've been around the estate planning community and we've had the privilege to represent for over 10 years, making taxable gifts was an important part of the strategies. We'll talk about that today. Number five, for estates below $5.25 million, who should employ their trust? In fact, an old-time relationship of mine reached me today and asked me if we should stop doing trust. We'll get to that answer today. Number six, what is spousal portability and the unification of the exemption amount? This is a very unique opportunity to carry over your tax credit between husband and wife, and should that eliminate certain planning? We'll address that today. Number seven, the generation skipping tax exemption amount, that's the amount you can pass free of tax all the way down to your grandchildren, without children and grandchildren, two generations down. Who of you should be taking advantage of that? Number eight, as we get to March 13 in the debt ceiling debates, what detrimental effect could negotiations have on state-to-state taxes? So we'll address that. Number nine, what are the trust and non-trust planning strategies that married and single persons should undertake in 2013? Maybe one of the more important pieces that you'll want to hear today. And number 10, what critical gift tax consequences must be avoided for gifts that were made in 2012? When does the statute of limitations begin? How quickly do we have to move? So many of you took advantage of doing tax planning with us in 2012. Some new relationships did them right at the end of the year. So we'll address that. We've got lots of material. I'm going to try to be efficient. I always try to start a few minutes after the hour to allow callers to jump on and get settled in. So we're moving now. So, number one, the new tax rates and exemption amounts, they are set. What can we expect to pay? Federal state tax rates move up now from 35 to 40%. The exemption amount is $5,250,000, and that will be adjusted annually for inflation. The lifetime gift, the amount that you can give free of tax during your lifetime, is also set at $5.25 million. This came as a huge surprise to us. But when you look at the negotiations and how focused President Obama was on not letting this drift into the new year, which we were certain the can would get kicked down the road, you can imagine that many things are up for negotiation. This is a phenomenal one for us in our community and a wonderful New Year's baby surprise. So you still can give up to $5.25 million. For income tax purposes, individuals earning in excess of $400,000, and we will follow up for each of you on the call with a summary of this. So as my professor would say in college, spend the time now just to listen. You may want to take a couple of notes, but it'll be captured in a summary when this call is over. So those earning in excess of $450,000 will drop back to the Clinton-era tax levels of 39.6%, which does not include, this is post-Clinton-era, the 3.8 tax on investment income and capital gains to pay for Obamacare. Anyone earning less than $400,000 will continue in the Bush era tax rate. However, there will be a 6% payroll tax for Social Security. That's restored. So employees, if any of you are continue to be salaried in some position, paychecks will be smaller than those who do not receive a W-2 earning. Two limits on tax exemptions will be reimposed. The personal exemption phase-out will be set at $250,000, and the itemized deduction limitation kicks in at $300,000. The 2009 expansion of the tax breaks for low-income Americans, the Earned Income Tax Credit, the Child Tax Credit, the American Opportunity Tax Credit will now be extended for 5 years. So the can was kicked down the road for those pieces. Whoopee, there'll be a pay freeze for Congress, as well as a farm bill was passed, less relevant for our clients except those in way out in western New Jersey. What are the estate traps to be wary of? By the way, that was the most comprehensive review we gave there. Each of these will be less in-depth. So what are the estate tax traps to be wary of? Well, the exemption amounts for state estate taxes are much lower than the federal exemption amount. So, for example, on the federal level, you can pass $5.25 million free of tax as an individual, $10.5 million free of tax. But if you have a $10 million estate and you live in New Jersey, your exemption is only $675,000. So you take that, even if you can carry over your spouses, if you're married, your total is only $1,350,000. The net result is that your estates are taxed at state tax rates on anything over the $1.35 up to the $10.5 million. And so that puts you very close to $1 million of total tax between husband and wife that you'll pay to Trenton, almost $1 million that you'll pay to Albany if you're living in New York, and then a similar amount in Connecticut, except Connecticut has a higher exemption amount, $2 million free of tax. So it is critical that we not lose sight of the fact, the devil is always in the details, that the state-to-state tax issue continues to be an issue. The other piece that's critical is while you may feel that your estate is under the $5 million or combined between husband and wife under the $10 million, if you possess property outside the state that you reside, particularly we're speaking about real estate, but there could be other assets that certain states would require that you go through the probate process. For example, many of you, you have a primary residence in the Northeast but have a second home out in Vail or down in Palm Beach or up in Vermont. And in any of those instances, we have to go through the probate process in those states, and that is the toll that those states charge. Ironically, there has been some correlation between states that don't have a state tax, like Florida, okay, where they don't charge you a state tax in the state, but they charge significant probate fees. That's how they, quote, get you. New Jersey is the opposite. New Jersey has high estate tax imposition, with meaning you have a low exemption and then tax above it, and the rates are nearly 10%. But the probate process is efficient. So states like New York have a little bit of both, but neither is the worst in the nation. So the point being that if you possess property outside the state in which you live, it is critical to not lose sight of the fact that we have to put that into a special vehicle to avoid probate for your surviving spouse, for your children, the process of retaining local attorneys, going through that process of probate can be avoided by just doing a revocable trust. Number three, lifetime gifts in excess of $2 million in Connecticut are subject to tax. Is this a warning for similar gift limitations in other states? So, to be crass about it, almost 2 years ago when the $5 million gift exemption came into being, many of you took great advantage of moving assets into trust to move those assets, quote, off of your balance sheet to avoid tax. Connecticut caught on to this, and they busted our Connecticut residents by saying if you've given over $2 million to a trust, yes, you're exempt from federal tax, but you are not exempt from state estate gift tax. And so if you are over $2 million, you will pay a skip tax. The equivalent is if you died in Connecticut at that point. So on a $5 million gift, we had a few hundred thousand dollars. On a $10 million gift, we had several hundred thousand, almost a million, in state estate gift tax in Connecticut. Connecticut is not the most draconian state. In fact, it's more one of the more favorable states in the tri-state area to live income tax-wise. But they were quick to get on the bandwagon to protect against the sophisticated, wealthy moving assets out of their name once they had the $5 million exemption. What they did was pass this bill late in the spring that was retroactive to January 1. The net effect was anybody that made gifts over $2 million paid a gift tax. They are the only state in the nation. With respect to New York and New Jersey, there is nothing currently in committee that says that they're going to create a gift tax. But the irony here is if Connecticut is a more tax-favorable state, in fact, their exemption amount, death exemption, is $2 million, New Jersey $675, New York $1 million, being two and a half times, almost three times the size of New Jersey, and they're imposing a gift tax, could New Jersey be far away? Well, possibly not. Possibly not with our current governor, Christie, in New Jersey. He's already embarrassed that the exemption rates are so low in New Jersey. But we do have this risk. What is the option? While we still know that you can make tax-free gifts in New Jersey and New York, and those of you who live around the country that we represent, consider making these gifts while we still have a $5 million exemption on the federal level, and consider making these gifts before the states potentially impose a gift tax based on whatever number they decide to. Right now, there is no gift tax on the state level if you move assets out of your name. Number four, with the new permanency of the estate tax exemption, what taxpayers should make gifts over $5.25 million and pay the tax? So it's been nearly 10 years since we have made taxable gifts. What does that mean? It means that when you give over the federal exemption amount, and that's 5.25 now, 10 years ago it was $750,000, if you gave over that amount to your children or your loved ones, you paid a gift tax on the federal level. Many people did chose in the past 10 years not to make taxable gifts because their view was the federal estate tax is going to evaporate. Why is it going to evaporate? Because good old George Bush is going to see to it that there'll be no federal tax, estate tax, and so therefore, why make gifts to our kids now and pay gift tax when we know that it's all going to pass free of tax down to the children? Conclusion, as we all know, was faulty, and so someone who potentially gave away an appreciating asset 10 years ago and paid some tax on it now has that asset off their balance sheet free of tax. What is the subtlety that must be captured here? Here is the key piece. If you have a $25 million estate for this hypothetical, as you do on this call, and you decide to give away, let's make it easier math. It's a $50 million estate, and you decide that you have a $10 million exemption between husband and wife, but you want to give away an additional five, a total of 15 today. Well, then you would get 10 free of tax, but the five you would pay gift tax on. And that would seem, maybe to some of you, that that's not a great idea. The good news is on that $5 million that you give away, you will pay tax today, and we're always recommending defer tax. You will pay the tax today, but it won't be out of the gift. The $5 million will go to your loved ones without diminution, and you will pay the tax out of your other assets. If you die and that $5 million was in your estate, you will pay the tax out of the gift. The result, and without getting into the complexity of it on this call, is that gifts that are made during lifetime will suffer less tax because the gift is coming out of other assets than when you take your entire estate and the tax comes out of the gift when you die. Again, more than what goes on this call, but the light bulb will go off when you begin to say, should I be making taxable gifts, and is there a net benefit? The answer is absolutely. That does not take into account that these assets you give away today may be 40 years of growth before they're actually off your balance sheet. So it was a ubiquitously employed strategy for generations to pay the gift tax and give away more assets during lifetime than just maxing out at the exemption. Okay, number five, for estates below 5.25, who should employ trust in their will? I was with a client who may be on this call today, yesterday afternoon, and we were talking about a top surgeon that we're using for a medical situation that they have. And they said, you know, to the surgeon, do we cut? And he said, I'm a surgeon. My answer is always cut. So you guys ask me, you know, I have less than 5.25 million or less than 10. Should I create a trust? And the answer is, we're trust lawyers. We create trust. And we believe in trust. So why would you still create a trust when you have less than 5.25 or less than 10? The answer, there are multiple non-tax reasons to do this. The first is that when you leave your assets to your loved ones and you leave it to them in trust, what you're doing is protecting that asset not just from them, more often it's from others. And today we can draft a trust where your loved ones can be a co-trustee, can be a sole trustee. We have phenomenal institutions that we work with that can serve as a co-trustee. We can give your children the ability to remove the trustee. We can have a third party have the ability to remove the trustee. All of these pieces are critical as to why you would want to have the trust and the will. We just came back from the Heckling Estate Planning Institute. It's a week-long review of intensive issues. A topic I haven't heard in many, many years, but is critical, said that the biggest creditor to wealthy estates is the divorce. And it's true. So imagine if you've left $5, $10, $20, $50 million to your children, but in this instance, we're looking at only 5 to 10. It's a smaller amount, but a tremendous life-changing amount to someone who is inheriting that. And imagine that they integrate it into their own accounts, and then thereafter buy a home with it with their new spouse and invest in joint accounts with their spouse, and then they get divorced. As the old Eddie Murphy line was in his stand-up routine, that spouse gets half. It may not be exactly half, but it's close. So the value of trust, both for all of you who are married and your spouses now inherit these assets. If your surviving spouse remarries, we have the greatest risk of creditors is that your spouse potentially divorces or your children or grandchildren. So number one. The second is that why do we create the trust? Because we want these assets to pass free of tax, not just down to your children, but if your children die, rather than having those assets pass to your sons and daughters-in-law, we'd want it to go down to your grandchildren. We don't want your sons and daughters-in-laws to be deprived of it, but your sons and daughters-in-law may remarry. And if they do, then the assets that you left to your child now goes to their surviving spouse, and then they marry, and it never gets down to your grandchildren. If we keep it down the family line, and in trust for your child and then your child's death down to grandchildren or any loved ones that you have, we assure that the money does not get inadvertently directed away from the ultimate beneficiaries that you want. So the second reason is to ensure continuity. The third is if you leave these assets to your spouse and then down to your children in trust and allow them to serve as a sole trustee, when they pass away, these assets, the way that we prepared it, will go generation-skipping tax-free all the way down to your grandchildren so that your children can live their lives, make their own way in the world, build their own estate, and provided they have not drawn down these assets, that, of course, is one of my highest goals and wishes for each of you, that your children provide for themselves. these assets that are growing will not serve to punish your child's estate, but will pass free of tax because they're in trust all the way down to your grandchildren. We also care about your daughters and sons-in-law, and so we give your spouse, your children the right to give some portion to their spouse, but it would go in trust to them, and if they remarried, at least on the, on your surviving child spouse's assets, that will pass back down to your grandchildren. We will do that protective work for your daughters and sons-in-law, allow them access, but also not deprive it to the grandchildren. So those are two. The third is that your children may make their way in this world, your grandchildren make their way in this world, and they may have to sign personal guarantees. I know that I have to do it on certain investments, and all of you as well. What we don't want to think that if things go south, that they should be able to go beyond the assets that they've invested. The fact is, when you sign a personal guarantee, they do. And so at least the assets that your children have inherited from you should be insulated from these attacks, also for your surviving spouse and loved ones. So the answer is, do we still do trust for tax, GST tax, and non-tax asset protection purposes? Absolutely, wholeheartedly. Okay? We are on to number six. What is meant by spousal portability and unification of the exemption amount? The spousal portability rule allows the surviving spouse to utilize any remaining portion of their deceased spouse's exemption amount if it was not employed under their estate plan. So husband and wife put together I love you wills, print it off the internet, start to panic, go on the internet, try to figure out what's going on, don't know exactly what to do. You know, we have a full built-out estate administration department where people do come to us who did not know us, friends of yours maybe, each of you on the call, who said, can you help us with the estate plan? And in another instance, there would be taxes, but this is a remedy to allow people who fail to do the appropriate tax planning to carry over their deceased spouse's exemption amount. It is essential that you file, in these instances, a 706. That is the estate tax return when on the federal level when you pass away. So you must identify that you want to carry that over, and you have your timelines of 9 months that that must be completed as well. For tax efficiency purposes, married couples now enjoy the ability to pass loved ones $10.5 million free of tax. That said, the tax efficiency is only one piece of this. So we never want our clients, okay, to pull out the frozen food from the freezer, leave it on the counter for 24 hours, and then say, is there any remedy to make sure that this hasn't gone bad? There are remedies, but that's just not the approach that we want to do. We want you to do your planning in place. This is when you're walking on the boardwalk and one of your loved ones says, you know, my spouse passed away, we didn't have a will, we've got this large estate. We cannot make a will and a well-drafted trust from a draft or a internet will or someone who's not in this industry, but we can't. There are some savings opportunities that we can do, but they must be done within the first 9 months of you of the client passing away. Number seven, the generation skipping tax exemption amount is $5.25 million. Who should take advantage of this? In our mind, even if you have less than $5.25 million, you want to take advantage of this exemption amount. What it's saying is no matter how much money is in the trust, unless it's over $5.25 million, you can take comfort that if you leave it in trust to your children, it will, and they don't spend it because they've made their own way in this world, then this will pass free of tax all the way down to your grandchildren. So it does not have to be a significant estate. If it is a significant estate, and by that maybe your estate is over $5 million, that may be insignificant to many of you who we represent on this call, but consider the notion of leaving the assets in trust so that your children can use it as they need it, but not deprive them of making their own way in the world. And provided that they do well on their own, they can be assured of a couple of things, that this GST, generation skipping tax exempt amount, will be protected from creditors while they're alive and will pass free of tax down to their children. So an important piece that we want to employ, and you should know that all of you on this call, we have already undertaken to maximize the generation skipping tax amount, whatever it was settled on January 1. We didn't know what it was going to be, but your documents are flexible and that they address that. It is essential to know that it is a complex body of law, and it is nothing to underestimate, but in the end, when it's employed correctly, as we've done in your documents, we can get money over $10 million, particularly if your children do not use it and it grows in compounds, significantly more free of tax, not just down to your grandchildren, but even beyond. Number eight, looking forward to the March 13 debt ceiling debate. What detrimental effect could such negotiations have on the estate taxes? The GOP has not had their final say. They have negotiated well. They are impressive in their minority in in the Senate. When these battles begin, we will see more sparks fly. Analysts have seen this fiscal cliff as a deal, as a win for the Democrats because of the increased taxes for higher earners, but the GOP has this chance now to extract these cuts from spending when the U.S. hits its debt ceiling in March. Regarding revenue to individual states, the federal estate tax exemption amount will ultimately reduce the state's future estate tax pickup during lifetime gifts. These are used by the states to collect additional revenue without additionally having to charge the decedent. So now that the exemption amount is 5, the feds are not picking up the tax for the benefit of the states because the exemption amount is much higher than the state exemption amount is. This was accomplished by giving taxpayers exemptions on the state amount paid. So, for example, if one pays $100 of New York estate tax, his federal estate tax will be reduced by $100. This made it very politically palatable, since it could be fairly argued that the pickup tax did not really cost the feds anything, since the funds would have been paid, or the state, since the funds were paid by the federal government. When this credit expired, it caused the pickup tax to also expire, meaning that the states now have to construct methods to pick up this tax, which currently they're not doing under the old federal estate tax regime, and this could be an opportunity for the states to go again aggressively after charging gift taxes for people during their lifetime. We have talked about this notion as the gap has widened between the federal exemption, which is $5 million, and the state exemption, which is $1 million in New York, $2 million in Connecticut, etc., that now this gap is where the states are going to go after audits, when before they didn't have to do that. So we have to be mindful that these states and states throughout the nation we're representing you, that they're going to be retooling on the estate tax audit to address people who have more than the exemption amounts, but under the federal amount, because the feds are no longer auditing. So these states have to be more sophisticated, and we have to serve that God, we meaning each of you and us as your firm, to make sure that we are prepared for that. What are the trust and non-trust tax planning strategies that the married and single person should undertake in 2013? Number one, a notion near and dear to my heart and to the team's is foundations. With increased taxes, gifts to charity have a greater tax deductible value. If you're paying more tax and you give away assets, you'll get a greater tax deduction. Gifts to foundation enjoy a full deduction in the year that you transfer it. If you have a stock that you paid $1 for and now it's worth $10, when you give the stock away, the entire $10 value is credited into the foundation, and you don't have to pay the gains tax of selling the $10 stock, getting the diminished value, and then getting that into the trust. You can give the entire amount over, number one. Number two is you get the full deduction in the year that you give it, but you only have to give away 5% of the annual amount of the trust. Number three, the money in the foundation. Number three, the money in the foundation compounds free of tax. So you can see this amount growing, and in good years, and knowing that you're represented by high-quality advisors, when you're back to getting 5% return on your money, you may see gifts annually going out without 5%, without any diminution in your foundation portfolio. Plus, you're integrating your children. You are having them see the importance of giving back. This year we will spend a significant amount of time preparing heirs for their inheritance and educating you and working through your family mission. Part of the family mission is joining your loved ones together on an annual basis to make gifts to those in need. It is a wonderful way to keep the family together and to have them overlook the potential inequalities they see in their distributions or the family business and gather together in unity to give to those less advantaged. I grew up and watched my grandfather's estate litigated and watched the family divide over it. That is not the gift that any of you want to do to give to your loved ones, that the acrimony is greater than the gift they receive. Foundations, we believe, support a critical element in society. Number two, real quickly, charitable trust. You can give the assets into the trust today. The income can be dispersed out to the charity to fund your favorite programs. I'm involved in several charities. One is the YMCA through charitable giving. The income coming out of the trust each year can fund a particular program. Saturdays in Motion for children of special needs swimming in the pool. At the end of that trust term, the money will pass to your children free of tax. Yes, there'll be higher estate tax. Yes, there'll be higher income tax rates that we're going to see in the second term of Obama, but we do have wonderful upsides by giving to charity. You can also leave money in trust for your loved ones, where they enjoy the income, even you and your spouse income during your lifetime, and then at the end of this period, the remaining assets pass free of tax. This is a trust that was created by Mitt Romney, in fact, that we reviewed and commented on for Bloomberg twice last year. Number three is the family mission planning. We'll spend very little time now, but again, the family mission is this idea of embracing your success and celebrating how far each of you have gotten in your life and reminding yourselves what sacrifices you've made, what notions of prudence and thrift and good behavior have enabled you to protect and preserve your net worth and what you want to see happen when you leave this earth. And through the family mission, we'll celebrate that. We'll talk about what your highest priorities are. We'll focus on your family getting involved in charitable giving, but also in preserving the wealth so that we don't go T-shirts to T-shirts in three generations. Okay, let's keep moving on. Number 10, and we're done. What critical tax consequences must be avoided? All right. Those of you, and you'll be receiving a letter from us, who have made gifts in 2012, must get your tax returns done to get the clock running for the statute of limitations. We have been astounded by how many people, and many of you on this call were not in this category, decided in the last 45 days of a two-year-long window to make gifts and move it off their balance sheet. The IRS is getting inundated with these, and my suspicion is that those that get in quickly, those that have highly detailed tax returns, those that have exhibits that are clear, will be the ones that the IRS will move off of and look for things that are not well prepared, that are potentially incomplete. Remember, these agents are experts at reviewing these returns. You must not, and we're now more concerned than ever, involve yourself with your experts who do not have an expertise in gift tax planning. Yes, that is a direction that you're going to see in our letter coming out to you in the next several days. We need to be involved with that to make sure that return is correct and appropriate. The majority of you have already said you want us to do that. We need to get to each one of you and make sure that we're doing the best possible work on that return. There is a 3-year look back, so we're not out of the woods on the review of this return for 3 years. It is essential that we get the clock running right away. Final piece that we want to wrap up on this here is with respect to the tax returns, is that any details that we are missing with respect to appraisals that you have on valuations, we want to get through each of these pieces. Coming back from our Estate Planning Institute, the other critical piece that we took away is how important it's going to be for the, quote, intelligentsia, you know, those that attend these national, international seminars to distinguish them, their clients, in when the returns are going in. So that as you pass that inspector and he's got his stamp there, when you're walking through immigration, they're looking at you and saying two questions and then next. And they're not pulling you aside into a separate room. We do not want our clients, any of you in that category.
Aye.